This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is 8 minutes past 11 o'clock. Welcome to this special segment where we delve into an exciting collaboration which is aimed at combating corruption in the country. The SIU, that's the Special Investigations Unit, has recently forged a partnership with the Stellenbosch University, which focuses on training, research, community engagement, capacity building as well, but also the exchange of critical expertise. And this MOU does signify a significant step toward enhancing anti-corruption efforts in South Africa. But to tell us a bit more this morning, we are joined by Advocate Andy Mutibi, who's the head of the Special Investigations Unit. A pleasure to have you on the program, Advocate.
Thank you very much, Ntantao. Thanks for inviting us, and good morning to the power listeners.
Thank you so much. Can you provide us, firstly, with an overview of the SIU's recent achievements, but also your milestones in fighting corruption over the past 5 years? What are some of the challenges that remain to be addressed?
Look, I think we've really turned the corner. The biggest risk for us was the length of time that we took to investigate, but also that was really the result of various factors. Number one, resourcing of the organization, the skills, and also just ensuring that our processes are well-defined and understood by everyone, so that now we can really increase, the speed of attending to matters. So we've since done that. The resourcing is still going on, but we can safely say the resources is at a level when we get proclamations to investigate, they're really able to be turned around quickly. We have brought on board the resources that we require. In the main, also resourcing the forensic accounting space, because that space we used to outsource, and it would take long to get the outsourced partners on board. Now we've got the internal skills to follow the money, so to speak. The forensic accountants are assisting with that. We've got them on board. So as we speak today, that Mr. Hume, we really are adequately resourced. Let me put it that way. I suppose you can really never be well resourced, but we are adequately resourced to turn around our investigations quickly, show results, consequence management, recoveries that are required, and ensure that the consequence management level is at a stage where we are making an impact and the public can see it. And of course, as you know, the consequence management takes various permutations. In the main, for our purpose, the one that we really control end to end is at the end of the process we recover, and we recover the assets and the money, bring them back to the state. And then we also have instances where officials involved are disciplined, those who are implicated, that is, disciplined, but that is the responsibility of the departments and institutions. But we do provide witnesses from our investigators. We work with the departments on that one. But it's really their responsibility to execute it. But we do monitor, because it's to our interest and the interest of the public that those who are implicated in wrongdoing should really be dealt with appropriately. Yeah. Of course, the other one is the referrals to the National Prosecuting Authority. And then lately, we really recovered that while we cancel the contracts, recover the money, the companies that are involved could still, do business, but now we are working with the National Treasury to blacklist them. But now we don't just end there. We don't just blacklist the companies. We blacklist even the directors. You can understand that if you blacklist a company, Director X or the owner or whoever it is, can just go and form another company and come back and still continue to do business. Now, we are continuing now to blacklist the individuals concerned. So as we speak now, I think the challenges that we had are really in hand. We are under control. We have put measures in place so that we can execute. What's left really now is execution of, you know, ensuring that we execute as expected by the public. And up to today, we are really able to show the results. In our last annual report, we have shown about 2.4 billion in terms of which matters have been referred, you know, to the special tribunal and to the High Court, that's for recovery. The actual recoveries, they stood at 846 million, which is really money in the bank. So we're really pleased to report to the public and really say we are continuing to show and make the difference. Of course, from the subject you have introduced now, is that as part of executing our strategies, right? Because what we do at the end of each an investigation, in the process of investigating, when we pick up weaknesses in the system of government, what we do what we call systemic recommendations, right? If there were weaknesses or deficiencies in the process, deficiencies in policies in government, we make those recommendations. And that is with the purpose of what? Preventing, you know, putting in place measures to prevent. And now, as government and driven by SIU, we've been charged to develop the National Corruption Prevention Framework for government. We are busy consulting on that, and we will be, you know, presenting it to cabinet at an appropriate time so that we can consult widely with the public. But in the process, we would like to create partnerships. And partnerships are created under the auspices of the theme called the whole of government and the whole of society approach. You'd agree with me, Mr. Suhume, that, you know, we really need all hands on deck here. You know, we need public involvement. We need business. We need civil society. We need academics. In the example you have made, we have been out, you know, getting partnerships with academic institutions, in particular, academics of higher learning. In this case, the University of Stellenbosch. Indeed, we signed a memorandum of understanding with them. We are really pleased because they bring with capabilities, for example, of research, the mutual technical assistance that you spoke of. But if you read through that memorandum, you'll see that there is also emphasis on corruption prevention. Under mutual technical assistance, there is exchange of information for purposes of early identification of corruption. So we will put in place a framework as part of the corruption prevention framework. We'll put in place measures to enable state institutions to implement, do risk assessments, so that corruption risk assessments, that is, so that we can put in place, you know, what we call, you know, key risk indicators, right? Key corruption risk indicators. Now, when those indicators are there, we expect the state institutions to act early, because those would be early warning systems, right? For example, when you do a risk assessment, because mostly losses are experienced in procurement. Let me take procurement space as an example. If you do a risk assessment and you find that, you know, the skills in the procurement space, you know, are short, then the departments have to act quickly to bring in appropriate skills in the procurement process, because we have seen as part of our investigations, Mr. Zuhume, that the government, and this is the norm worldwide, and we understand why, because that's where the money is. You know, the procurement space is where monies are being siphoned. The corrupt activities take place in the procurement environment. So we want to really work with state institutions, government in general, to streamline processes in procurement, bring in checks and balances, right? So that, you know, you're able to say, this is a control measure. If you are able to, if there's a bid that goes out, it comes back, right? People who open the bid should probably be different. People who evaluate, you know, so that it shouldn't be that there is an opportunity for anyone to influence the process. I'm just using that as an example.
And we're glad you've really laid the land for us. But considering the diverse nature of corruption challenges in South Africa, Advocate Mtibi, how does the SIU then prioritize its focus or its focus areas for investigation? Are there specific sectors or regions that pose particular challenges?
Wonderful. I'm glad you've come up with that question. Now, as part of, you know, really prioritizing the sector, right, and also implementing this whole of society involvement, we have done as SIU and the and the JCPS standing for Justice, Crime, Prevention and Security, right? We've done a corruption risk assessment, right? And we have now come up with various sectors which we need to prioritize for purposes of implementing the model of including civil society, business and the others, right? So that they can work with us to deal with these prioritized sectors. Now, we started with the health sector. Health sector we prioritized, and this we did just shortly before COVID hit. And it was really good thing that we were as proactive as that. We never knew that COVID will hit us, but we had already galvanized the public around the health sector. A health sector anti-corruption forum was created in 2019 October. The president himself, President Ramaphosa, launched the sector. And Mr. Zuma, I can tell you, we are even now doing the effectiveness assessment of that forum.
Right.
All the members of that forum are being talked to. We've got an independent service provider doing the effectiveness. We have seen a difference in terms of working together, dealing with corruption in a prioritized manner. Now, and this is really because you would agree with me that really all the sectors, health, build industry, what other sector, local government and the others, then we have seen, we've got investigations in all the sectors, right? But the other one that we prioritized in this manner of including everyone was local government, right? And then it was followed this year by the immigration and the one at Home Affairs. It's immigration and border management. And then it will be followed by state-owned entities. So we will have how many? One, two, three, almost four forums as a model of implementing this prioritized version or prioritized approach. So we should be able to report as we would be able to report shortly after the effectiveness is done of the health sector and the local government. The effectiveness report will be laid bare for the public to see, so that even the members of this forum. So we have prioritized these sectors together with other members of the public, and we are seeing results, right? Members of these forums bring allegations in, and they are able to monitor whether, because when they come in these allegations, we then say who is best positioned to deal with it. If it's SIU, if it's Hawks, if it's investigative directorate, if it's Public Service Commission, and so on. So, and members of the public are there. We've got a steering committee in each forum, including members of the public that are saying, okay, we can see you addressing that. What about that? What about that? So they're holding us to account.
And speaking about
until this reach a conclusion.
And speaking about that, Mr. Mtibi, my apologies to butt in there.
No problem.
The issue of the construction mafia has also garnered significant attention, especially if you look at recent media reports, due to its impact on the construction industry and infrastructure projects. How is the SIU then addressing this challenge, and what measures are being implemented to really tackle such organized crime, especially in the construction sector?
I am glad you've brought that again up. We have also, I may have not have mentioned it when I mentioned the model forums, we've also established infrastructure built anti-corruption forum. It was launched by Minister Jalil at the time as the Minister of Public Works. I think that's almost 2 years ago, 2022 thereabouts, right? So, amongst others, over and above, you know, following up on allegations that have been reported, investigations that are done, this issue of construction mafia also was brought on the table, right? And remember, all the law enforcement agencies are at the forum. Stakeholders in the industry are also part of the forum. So we have said, and I'm glad that, you know, the Minister of Police and the Police Commissioner, the Hawks, the head of the Hawks and others sitting at the forum, they've really listened and the focused teams in the police to deal with the construction mafia. I think we must really continue to monitor, and we must really, we understand the modus operandi of this mafia, so-called mafia, right? I mean, they would rock up at the construction site and say, we need a certain percentage and so on, and if you don't give us, you don't continue. That is not acceptable. Otherwise, major key projects of the country will be halted. And we can't allow that. It's against, it will impede economic growth. So what we're doing is that that in itself is a crime, right? And as you correctly said, this is organized crime. It has to be done in accordance with the strategy of government to fight organized crime. And all of us are involved, because corruption as well is characterized as part of organized crime, because you have more than one party, so many parties concocting to corrupt the system. It's also, of course, you know, an offense in terms of, you know, the criminal law and so on. So from an organized crime perspective, we have sat down, Mr. Sehume, to respond to your question. We've sat down as government, law enforcement agencies. Now we've drawn in the public to comment and show us instances where they are organized with these mafias, so that they can be acted upon.
As we begin wrapping up our conversation, how does the SIU then collaborate with, for instance, other government agencies, law enforcement bodies, and even international partners in tackling cross-border corruption cases or issues of mutual interest?
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, in our strategy as SIU, we said to execute our mandate, we, as I mentioned earlier on, that we need partnerships, right? So, of course, it's internal, our peers in the law enforcement agencies. We need partnerships in the society. We need partnerships across our borders. Now, what have we done? We are part of SADC, Anti-Corruption Committee. We are part of the Anti-Corruption Working Group of the African Union. Guess what? We are also part of the International Association of Anti-Corruption Authorities. We are part of EXCO, of the African Anti-Corruption Authority Association. Excuse me. Now, as part of the discussions in all of these associations, and by the way, we have seen results. The latest request, after participating in a symposium which was held by Hong Kong, we met various authorities. There's one or two now who have called us from Saudi Arabia and from UAE. They have said, we are aware of people who have fled to South Africa having committed crime, and we are able to act quickly, of course, using the United Nations Anti-Corruption Convention, of course, using our laws. So what I'm trying to say to you is that all these forums have created an opportunity to officially and unofficially to alert each other across borders, right? Not so long ago, our colleagues in Tanzania, they picked up a call and called us, And said we are aware of someone who is in South Africa, our colleagues in Botswana. So, and then we pass them over to the Hawks
right.
or wherever they should be. They follow up. There has been tangible outcomes of those people. Of course, now the one other issue is we must find a way of communicating all this to the public without prejudicing all these cases, you know. Because in some instances, we are expected really not to, you know, speak out to the public. Otherwise, we will be warning these people and they will disappear, right? But there is concerted effort to work with our peers in the country, internationally, to ensure that our focus focuses on dealing with cross-border corruption activities.
Advocate Matibi, let me thank you so much for sharing your insights, but also shedding light on the important work of the Special Investigations Unit. And this partnership with the Stellenbosch University marks also, like he said, a significant step in enhancing the fight against corruption in South Africa. The detailed responses as well have provided us with a deeper understanding of the challenges and strategies involved in tackling corruption, as well as promising the future of this collaboration, as we've heard from Advocate Mutibi. As we look ahead, it's quite clear that initiatives like these are crucial in building a transparent, accountable and a just society. I mean, we do appreciate the dedication of the SIU, for instance, in clamping down on what we discussed, for instance, this construction mafia that keeps making headlines or stories or accounts of business people being forced to literally stop projects in some instances because of a group of people who come to the site and say, well, if you are going to start building here, we expect a 10% cut from whatever development is being initiated in that particular area. Thanks a lot to Advocate Andy Mutibi for sharing his insights on this very important topic as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.